Will you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for loving us and caring about all the details of our lives. Lord, thank you. Nothing is lost on you, that you know when we sit, you know when we rise. You know everything about us. And thank you that this morning, as we gather today in your name, Lord, that you'd speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, that you would continue to cause us to be transformed into your image, that we would look more and more like Jesus, that we would love more and more like Jesus. We pray that you'd knit our hearts together and that you would cause us to continue to flourish as your family of faith. We love you and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to continue with our, as you can see on the slide up there, the voices in our values. And I don't think I've ever given a message on this in the 14 years I've been here, but it's called Be the Child. Everybody say, Be the Child. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm just a 47-year-old big kid. And I think life is better when you're playful. And I know that we encounter some hard things and life can be rough and it can grate on us. But I think there, as we'll see, as the scriptures we'll look at today, what Jesus had to say about children and about what it means to be childlike. And if any of you know me, I sometimes my humor gets lost on people. Like, I'm quirky, I know, and that's okay. And you are too. And in your own way, and but we get permission to be ourselves. We don't have to show up here at BCC and be something different than who God created us to be. And we don't have to be apologetic about that. We get to be comfortable in our own skin and be thankful for who God made us. I share this many times, and I was at VBS with kids this week, and I never stop marveling at the fact that not only is your fingerprint unique to anyone in the world of, what do we have? Are we up to 7 billion people yet? Where are we at? Somebody knows the world population. What is it? 7.8. Okay. Is that right? Okay, somewhere around there. Lot of people. But that it's not just that your fingerprint's unique to everyone that's alive today, but everyone that's ever lived in the history of the world. I mean, that's just, don't you think so? That you're a one of a kind? And so, like, I can be really silly. One of my favorite things is, like, around fall time. Do you know DQ has a pumpkin pie blizzard? I know that I really enjoy this time of the year. That's one thing I enjoy about, you got to enjoy things for what they are in each season, right? When the Iowa cold is onsetting, you have to find other things to appreciate. So one time I drove into Dairy Queen drive-thru and I just said, do you know what time it is? And the gal, having no idea who was quirky persons at the drive-thru, said, it's actually 6:43. And I said, no, it's not 6:43. It's pumpkin pie blizzard time. And she's like, okay. would you, and then I said, have you ever had one? Like, why aren't you excited about this as I am? And so I drive through and I think she was kind of looking through the glass like, who's this crazy dude? But I think life is worth celebrating. I think life is worth enjoying. And I think life is worth learning to have fun with. And part of the, if it, I know this, I don't want to offend anybody, but if if push comes to shove and I have the option to hang out with kids versus adults, I'll probably choose kids every time. I like adults, but there's something about kids that I just connect with because they don't have all the maybe the barriers or walls or things that make them think you're sus. You know, that there's just this freedom of being who they are, and they're not trying to impress anyone, and there's no filters as many adults have, you know. And I love that about children, and I think Jesus loved that too. So I want to look at, and I didn't do this on purpose. I just was going through the scriptures that I wanted to look at today, and it happens that there's one from each gospel. That wasn't planned. I was just like, okay, Matthew, okay, there's, I actually was in a different order. I first found the one in Luke and then in Mark, but then I put them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just for fun. So as we walk through these, I just want to make a few observations about what it means to be childlike. Is that okay with you? All right. So can you be the child this morning? And what I want you to do as we look at these scriptures, we tend to look at these scriptures and we tend to think like about children and not ourselves as the child. And this morning I want you to read the scriptures as though you're the child. Because like in 1 John 3:1 it says, you know, that we're deeply loved children of God, and that's what we are. And so it's okay to see yourself as the child because you are the child. You're the child of God. And if anything should be for me primary as identity, that should be it. You are first a child of God before you're anything else. Before you're a professor or before you're a mom or before you're a child of God. And that needs to be primary as our identity. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first scripture comes out of Matthew. And it says in chapter 18, verse 10, and I'll read, and it's on the screens. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains to go in search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So, I mean, you get a sense of the Father's heart. He is always caring for the vulnerable, the lost, the left out. His heart is always moved in compassion for his children. I mean, if you're a mom or a dad, you know that you love your children and your heart's always for them, whether they make good choices or bad, right? That you always desire for the best for them, right? You want good for your children. And how much greater is God's heart towards us to want good for us, right? He cares about his children. And that's why he's going to, as we're going to see in these other passages that we look at, is that he wants us to learn how to live as children. And it says, so then we go on to Mark. And it says in chapter 9, verse 33, it starts, it says, "They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, 'What are you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all.' And then it continues and it says, 'He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not just welcome me, but the one who sent me. So we see our Savior. We see the author of life taking a child and saying, here's these disciples jockeying for position, like who's the greatest? And they're trying to, it's almost like this, adults do this, you know, we try to, you know, who's ever name dropped before? Or like maybe put out there a little bit of your resume. You know, there's this tendency to want to validate ourselves based on what we've accomplished or who we know. And a child doesn't care what degree you have. A child doesn't care about who you know. They want to know, do you love me? Do you care about me? Do you think I'm worth your attention? Right? And that's remarkable that Jesus, in the midst of these disciples jockeying for position, thinking who's the greatest, Jesus takes a child and reminds them what it's all about. The simplicity of trust, the simplicity of vulnerability and honesty, the simplicity of faith like a child. And I think it's beautiful. And I just, I marvel at, I think the disciples must have sat in that moment of like, wow, we really missed it. Like, what are we doing? Like, we got this all backwards. Like, we're trying to see who's the best, and Jesus takes a child and says, this is the kingdom of God, right? And I wanted to share with you, this is a book that I was given as a gift. It's called Blessing Your Children by Jack Hayford. And he makes a few comments about this fact, and I just wanted to share with you because it's spoken so eloquently, and I just feel like my words would fail. It says, because of children's vulnerability to both the human and spiritual influences that can so easily intrude upon or damage the wonder and beauty of the Heavenly Father's potential in them, Jesus taught and demonstrated a special sensitivity to these little ones. He also pressed the issue of adults coming to terms with childlikeness, clearly encouraging us to avoid the human tendencies towards hardness of heart, brittleness of soul, or spiritual presumption. It is from that perspective we now turn to a passage where Jesus issued a pointed call to believing adults. It is a call to return to the simplicity of a child, a call that requires both rebirth and recovery. And so this invitation, this beautiful invitation of our Father, that Jesus so eloquently and so perfectly ushered forth, is like, you cannot enter the kingdom unless you become like a child. Strip away all the complexities of life that we so times get cluttered with and stand in the place of the simplicity of a child that simply says, I don't know about all these things, but I know one thing is true, that there's a God who loves me, and I'll allow that to lead my life. I'll allow that to validate who I am. I'll allow that to be the footing that I stand upon. Does that make sense? Is that good? There's power in the simplicity of our faith. That it's not a blind faith of that we're just checking our minds at the door. No, it's a faith that is deeply embedded and rooted in the heart and the character of God, the heart and the character of Christ. We know him to be true. We know him to be real. We know him to be faithful. And we'll live or die on that. We'll stand on that. Amen? So the next passage continues on, and it says, Luke 18, 15 through 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Those are some strong words. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a child. And that is the simplicity of that. I trust you, God. I trust you with my whole life. You're my everything. We sang that this morning. That I have nothing apart from you. My whole life depends on you. And I'm going to trust you with every aspect of who I am. Every aspect of who I am. The longings of my heart. The dreams of the future. The things that weigh upon my heart. I'm going to trust you with all of it. And even when I pick it up and I want to try to control and try to hang on to something, as often as I do that, I'm going to come back to the place of release, the place of trusting him again. And that's a daily exercise. Because we all know that we sometimes will release something to God, and what do you know? We're back here grabbing hold of it, control. That's okay. God's patient. He's kind. He's long-suffering. Just release it again as often as you need to, because he's faithful and you can trust him with it. So then the last scripture, it says in John, and this is the feeding of the 5,000, and it is actually in all four Gospels. And you'll see why I selected this scripture, but it says, Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Who's that person that you're calculating all the things of how this is going to work? And come on, it's okay. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with planning. In Proverbs 19, it says, "But in a person's heart, they make plans, but God directs the steps." So as long as we're not married to our plans, thinking our plans is what we're going to stand on. We make plans, but there's always a yielded heart to say, "God, you're the one that knows best. You're the one who orders my step. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to believe that you are going to lead me." And so we see this. Philip is saying, like, there's no way this is going to happen. Like, McDonald's is nowhere close. And besides, the ice cream machine will be broken. And so what are we going to do? And so it says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" So again, he's doing the calculations like, I don't know how many ways you can cut up a fish, but I don't know that 5,000 is going to be much of a dinner. And I love this story because we don't know all the details. Like, we don't know if the boy said, hey, I got something. Like, he, or did the disciples say, "Hey, give me your lunch." We don't know that. I like to think that the boy spoke up and said, "I have something to offer." And Jesus took that and multiplied it. And I like to believe that this child did that as an act of faith. Like, take what I have, God. Use it as you will, because you are trustworthy, that I can entrust something that I have, whatever little it is, and you can make something great out of it. Amen? That's a great place to be. When we just take what we have, whatever it may be, little or great, and we entrust it to the hands of God to say, use it as you will. That's faith like a child. That's surrendered belief that, God, you do much more with what I have than I could ever. And you know how to multiply things and use them for the good of. Because here it is, this child wasn't doing it thinking, I do believe it was a very selfless act. Like I have stuff to eat. I don't know about all you all, but I got my lunch. I planned ahead. I do think that this child offered it up as like, whatever little I have, use it. And can you, I bet you that child didn't forget that day. Can I tell you about the time that my lunch fed 5,000? And we know it was more than 5,000 because that was just the men that they counted. This wasn't the women and children. So that was a large crowd. But all that to say that God takes what we have and he multiplies it. We simply need to trust him with what we have, whatever it may be. Are you guys enjoying this message? I love talking about children because, well, one of my dreams always was that I would be a dad one day. And you, for any of you who are parents, you know that parenting is one of the most difficult things in the world. But it's also one of the richest blessing you'll ever experience. And not all people have the opportunity to be parents, but we all have the opportunity to bless a child. And I wanted to read one more section from this book, and then we'll close. It says, yet, so this is Jack Hafer talking about like how we all can see ourselves as the child. We all have pictures of ourselves as children, right? They're seared in our mind, pictures that we, whether it's experiences or pictures we've seen that we may not even have the picture now, but we still have that image in our mind, right, of us as a child, right? True. And so he's reflecting on this, a picture he had of himself, of him standing with camouflage. He said it was one of his favorite, you know, shirts that he had, and he was sitting by, I don't know what kind of car it was, but it had those runners. Do you know cars used to have runners? And he had his foot up on the runner and his hand on the door. And so he's reflecting on that, and he says this: how many of us would do well to answer a dual call to be a child again, not only the call to transformation, but to humble gratitude? My story of being spared is everyone's story. Only the particulars are different in regard to setting, circumstance, and casual forces, yet the end result is the same. God saved my life, and he saved yours. I would like to assert this with authority. Whoever you are, and no matter how much or how little anybody ever loved you, God has kept you for his own wonderful reasons, including the possibilities of your influence on the children in your life who have such great purpose awaiting them in his plan. God has preserved our life. The fact that we're living and breathing today is because until the very last breath, we have purpose. You're not here by accident. Your days are not wasted. There is great meaning and purpose in every day that he gives you. It's not wasted on him. He has intention, good plans for every day of your life to make a difference. And we need to be the child. And there was this song that I actually grew up listening to. It's by somebody you've never heard of before because he was local in Seattle. And his name is Timothy James Meaney. How would you like to have a last name Meaney? Don't you think kids had a heyday with that one? Meaney. So the name of this song is actually Be the Child. And it says, I know you died for my life. Come into my heart and come fill me. From this day on, I give you everything. I love you and thank you for living in me. Now help me to be the child you want me to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for inviting us to be your children. In the simplicity of trust and faith, that you know us, you know what's best for us, and that we can trust you with everything. We pray that that would infuse our hearts and our lives with great purpose, a sense of wonder that not a single day is wasted, that you have plans and purposes that you want to fulfill yet in each of our lives, that you've given this gift of today, this gift of breath, this gift of life to be a blessing in this world. We pray that we would always come to you as little children, able to enjoy you, able to rest in you, able to receive from you, able to love you and exchange that love. We thank you for this time, and we ask that you would go bless these baptisms as we're about to witness together your work in each of these people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.